on-site delivery, you won't have to wait long. Or choose in-store pickup, and you won't have to wait at all. Save a whole lot of time and money with bulk pricing on shingles and insulation. Now at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. See store for details. U.S. and Guam only.
4 minutes after the hour of 5 o'clock, welcome back. It is the Todd Brummelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn here on KGYM. That's 106.3 FM in Iowa City, 107.5 FM in Cedar Rapids, and 1600 AM all across eastern Iowa, online as well at KGYMradio.com and through our free KGYM app. Download it in the iTunes or Google Play Store and take us anywhere in the palm of your hand. 319-366-1600 coming up in about, let's call it 6 minutes. Your chance to play Race to Win this afternoon on the program. Still 11 great prizes for you to possibly walk away with, including the grand prize, which is 6 tickets to the Indianapolis 500. 6 tickets to the Indianapolis 500.
One of those squares has already been revealed.
And it's out there, and it's on Monday's podcast. If you want to check out the gym class or this show's podcast, you can do so online, kgymradio.com. If you're just hopping in the car, maybe getting away from the desk, turning the radio on, whatever, Keith Law of ESPN, their senior baseball writer, is going to join us at the bottom of the hour. He's got a book out, Smart Baseball. Maybe it would be a good Father's Day present. Father's Day, a month away. Father's Day is June, right? And then Mother's Day is this weekend. And boy, I should know that. And I forget about it every year, and this will be, of course, our first Mother's Day and Father's Day as a mother and a father in my house. So I have no idea what's planned for that, but I do know that it also happens to coincide with my wedding anniversary this weekend, and so I got to make it big. Whatever it is, I got to make a big splash.
Is Mother's Day the holiday that everybody has a holiday that they forget usually? That when it comes up, they, oh, crap, yeah, that's coming up. Mine's Valentine's Day, as you can imagine, but is Mother's Day that holiday for you?
Sort of. Maybe like Memorial Day at the end of this month. There's always that Monday where I wake up and I feel like I need to go to work, and then it dawns on me, or I'll come home and I'll check the mailbox. Why is there no mail today? Oh, it was Memorial Day. But Mother's Day, which is... To me, when you say holiday, I think, do I have to work on that day? So I got to work on Mother's Day. I would if it was during the week. Don't consider it a holiday. But it's a Hallmark holiday. You better get Mom a card. What's the minimum that you can do for Mother's and Father's Day and get away with it? Is it a card, or do you have to go one step beyond that?
I got to get something of substance. A card.
Something of substance.
A card, something that costs me a nice chunk of change. A little bit. Not nothing over the century mark or anything, but $25, $30.
You know, the thing that's always bothered me about greeting cards is the fact that they print the price on the back of the card so that you know how much the person sending you the card spent on it.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. Why do they do that?
Not a big fan of that. Just put a barcode on there. And don't let me see that someone thinks that I'm only $3.95 worthy on my birthday as opposed to $6.95. The nice cards that come with the fancy plastic cellophane wrap over whatever the design is, and you've got to take it off before you mail it.
Yeah, I'll get a card. Hopefully it doesn't have the price on the back, and I don't know. I always have trouble shopping for my mom because... she has a very limited number of things that she likes, and I'm not a girl, so I don't ever know what to shop for, what to get. Suggestions would be great. Hey, here's a suggestion from Wiggy in Iowa City: a wind chime. Okay, that's creative.
Buy some of those at the farmer's market once they start up and down. Well, I don't think the first farmer's market is before this weekend, so I think we'll run into a little bit of an issue there. The text line is very active right now, 319-366-1600. We had a Mike Price reference in the first hour. Then we referenced the price of greeting cards. I got to come up with a price to reference in hour number three. Perhaps Mark Price, the former Cleveland Cavalier, whom if one of our coworkers is listening, she's a big Mark Price fan. She even has the candy bar to prove it, and she may or may not come into the studio as she's known to do. Luckily, it's kept in a hermetically sealed plastic bag because I have no idea about the stability of a 25-year-old chocolate bar. What's the oldest thing that you've ever eaten?
Like either week-old spaghetti or something like that?
Okay. But something that you looked at and you were like, I definitely should not eat that or put it in my mouth, and then you either ate it or put it in your mouth.
I think it was probably expired, like, ibuprofen that had been expired for probably a year.
Okay. Well,
does that count? Yeah. I'm always bending the rules on these things. Let's not forget the dip fiasco. Dip is apparently not a snack. Does that count?
You know what? No. I bought a box of 1987 Topps baseball cards.
Oh, no.
And it wasn't 1987 when I bought them. I think it was... Let's just be generous here and say that it was 2007, because it was the first baseball card set that I ever collected as a kid. It's got a wood border on it. They're very beautiful cards. If you are a baseball fan, you probably know what set I'm talking about. So I bought a box for the sake of nostalgia and decided that it would be a good idea to put some of the gum in my mouth and see, after 20-some years, whether or not it held up. And it shattered like glass.
I think I've actually done that before as well.
And probably tasted worse than actual shards of glass would have.
Did it have the green stuff on it? I've actually opened up a pack of gum. It's supposed to be like white powder. Right.
But does it turn green?
Yeah, there was something growing on it. It was rough. I knew not to try that. I've also bought, I think it was 1990 baseball cards, and it was probably 2005.
0983 on the text line asks, do you ever feel guilty throwing away a card someone got you?
All the time. That's why I almost never throw them away. They either get lost or they just sit there. All the time.
I hang on to them for a little bit, and then eventually, once I'm certain that that person's not going to be around my house, say 3 weeks later, the cards usually wind up in the recycling bin.
I still have a couple of Christmas cards from our general manager, Julie Hine, sitting on my desk. Haven't thrown them away. I don't know what it is. I cannot throw away a card. So it either, like I said, it either gets lost or it's sitting there.
Hockey guy says the gum would go bad after a year. Some people would argue it wasn't even good to begin with. But there are certain things that if I tasted right now, because taste is a tremendous trigger for memory. But if I even put just the tiniest little bit of that gum on my tongue right now, it would take me back to being 7 years old and ripping open those packs and Jody Davis and Hubie Brooks and Brian Clutterbuck and whoever else was in any given pack.
When did they stop doing that? Stop putting gum in those packs, because I don't ever remember those as a kid. That was a huge baseball card collector.
I can tell you off the top of my head that the 1992 season was the first year that Topps issued baseball cards that did not have gum in the packs.
That makes sense. That was the year after I was born.
Okay. So you've lived an entire life
without
knowing baseball cards that come with gum.
Well, like I said, I bought a couple of 1990 packs or like one of those full sets that they would sell for half price or whatever at the baseball card store, and they came with the bubble gum in it, and I think I tried it once, and like you said, I had very similar experience. But yeah, I've pretty much lived an entire life without having an edible or chewable piece of gum in my baseball card pack.
Evan in North Liberty says he drank a 10-year-old can of Schlitz beer about 10 years ago, and it wasn't bad. I draw the line on old beer. Can't do it.
I had a Schlitz at the Billy Goat.
You did on our trip to Chicago Big Ten Media Day.
And you also introduced me to what a malort is. Had no idea what that was. It's vile.
It could have given you a Chicago handshake, which is a shot of malort in old style. But as he retches in his mouth at the mere mention of it. We said we were going to tell you about the Kirk Ferentz ranking CBS Sports. It's that time of year where there's very little to talk about, perhaps as evidenced by the fact that we've just spent roughly 9 minutes talking about greeting cards and chewing gum. But CBS Sports has been running down the ranking of college football coaches. I can't remember. They started with all of the Power Five coaches, including Notre Dame's Brian Kelly. So 65 coaches. And Kirk Ferentz cracked the top 25. He comes in at number 20 on this year's list. And that's the good news. The bad news is there's a blurb which with each entry on the list. And for Kirk Ferentz, it's, quote, the very face of boring, monotonous success. Sure, Iowa may not be the most exciting team, and it may not be a great team, but it's never a bad team under Ferentz. I think we take that for granted sometimes. That would be CBS's Tom Fornelli. They've had some bad. Ferentz has had some bad teams. If you throw out the beginning of his tenure, I can think of maybe one bad team off the four-win season.
That's the one
years
I
back.
Think of.
That team was bad.
They were not good.
But is that? Do you take that if you're and A, Kirk Ferentz doesn't care about this stuff. It's water off a duck's back, literally. But do you take that? Those comments that hey, boring, monotonous, but successful.
Yeah, you absolutely do take that. No. It's interesting to see how my perspective has changed since in the last 7 years that I've been here covering this team, because before I had any ties to following this program or watching a Kirk Ferentz football team, that's the perception around the country, and I'm not sure that that's exactly a bad perception. What are some of the things that you talk about when you want to build a program? Let's just say it's a desolate program. They've been losing for years. You want someone to come in, you want to change the culture, what you want, very few distractions, get to work, and become a successful football program. And at that time, you want to you look at, okay, if we can just get 7, 8, 9 wins a season, that's considered a success. So you absolutely take that. Of course, there are a lot of Iowa fans that have bigger aspirations, but those are based on the aspirations, the goals that have already been laid down by Kirk Ferentz. So, yeah, I think there's a lot of truth to it, quite honestly. But the last word is the most important word to that statement, success.
Obviously, a lot of Big Ten coaches on the list in front of Ferentz. Urban Meyer checks in at number 2. Jim Harbaugh at Michigan is number 5 on the list. Bill Snyder, by the way, still a top 10 coach. At number 9 on this year's rankings. Mark D'Antonio at Michigan State is 11. The one I think Hawkeye fans would probably have an issue with is Pat Fitzgerald coming in at number 16. Just for the sake of comparison, he was 34th on this list a year ago. So Fitzgerald is number 16, and Ferentz is at number 20. Now, this is what they're talking about with being boring, monotonous, and successful. Ferentz is number 20 on the list this year. He was number 19 on the list a year ago. So the more things change in college football, the more they stay the same. Iowa and Ferentz, top 25 on the back end, but he's holding steady with that particular ranking.
Race to Win.
All right, we're going to do Race to Win now. The first of two attempts today to make somebody a winner. We need caller number 6 to 319-366-1600. If you've won anything with us in the last 30 days, unfortunately, you're not eligible. Keep in mind that we are also still waiting to give away the $100 a day in the month of May. today. It did not get given away on the gym class, nor during the first hour of this program. So choose your spot wisely. Do you want to try to win the $100, or do you want to try to win something maybe that's even better than $100? Tons of great prizes. We've got the Sunkissed basketball game, which is valued at about $180. Of course, the grand prize are the 6 Indianapolis 500 tickets. And we did give away the Hurricane Grill and Wings $50 gift card yesterday. So we have tickets. We have spots number 4 and 10, which are not available. So let's go ahead and step aside. We'll take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll find out who our first contestant is tonight on Race to Win. You're listening to the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn right here on KGYM.
A mother used to wear a crisply pressed dress, ride along on Sunday drives with the family, and serve meat and potatoes on the everyday china. Now a mother wears jeans, fast tracks it in the minivan, and serves heart-healthy meals on eco-friendly plates. Yes, moms have changed a lot over the years, but her teen and stalker jewelers still knows how to make them happy on Mother's Day. Since 1947, the Dickens family lovely gifts and helpful suggestions to children, and sometimes dads, to make Mother's Day especially special. This Mother's Day, come to Hertin & Stalker and choose beautiful and meaningful mother's jewelry. Or perhaps a watch or some other gift that mom will treasure. Stop and see what's in those famous windows at Hertin & Stalker Jewelers, corner of Dubuque and Washington in downtown Iowa City. Then step inside and wish a happy 70th anniversary to Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate. One of them is always there.
Easy as apple pie. Easy as falling off a log. Easy as 1, 2, 3. That's how easy it is to earn the power rate in ATM fee refunds with Power Checking at Midwest One Bank. 9 out of 10 new users of Power Checking said they'd recommend it because it's easy to qualify and easy to use. Don't settle for free checking when you can earn the power rate with Power Checking at Midwest One. Open your account at MidwestOne.com today. Qualifications apply. Maximum $15 in ATM fee refunds per qualification cycle. Member FDIC.
21 minutes after the hour of 5 o'clock, the Todd Brommelkamp Show continuing on. Keith Law of ESPN set to join us at the bottom of the hour. Talk a little smart baseball with him. But first, we head to the phone lines and bring James in Ely on board. James, are you familiar with Race to Win?
Yes, sir.
All right. Have you been paying attention to what squares have been chosen so far?
I've caught a few in the evening. I've missed a few. So.
Okay. We have 24 squares, but unfortunately two of them are out of commission because the $50 Hurricane Grill and Wings gift card is gone. So I'm going to have you pick a number between 1 and 24. Do not pick number 4 and do not pick number 10. Go ahead.
We'll go with 24.
All right. What is behind door number 24?
Hurtin & Stalker Jewelers Pulsar Watch.
That's a very nice Pulsar watch from Hurtin & Stalker Jewelers, valued at about $200. So what square would you like to pair up with number 24?
13.
Behind door number 13.
Alex is looking for square number 13 here.
Square number 13 is evading me, and now... here it is.
Free round of golf with a cart from St. Andrews Golf Club.
James, unfortunately, we couldn't make you a winner tonight. Thank you very much for playing along, but we did reveal a couple squares that I don't believe we've heard yet, at least not here on this program. So if you're paying attention at home,
what
make
was
sure.
13?
13 was a round at St. Andrews Golf Club.
Apparently.
Okay.
We couldn't
hear it on the phone, so I just thought I would jot her down. Thank you.
Okay. Yep. Still having the issue with people not being able to hear the things, apparently. So that's why I'm trying to say them back. But the St. Andrews round of golf and the Pulsar watch, the two spots revealed. So, again, thanks to James for playing. We didn't have a winner on the gym class earlier today. James didn't win now. So I will guarantee you that we will have somebody playing with us in hour number 3 tonight. We also, and I've neglected to mention this, the 6 o'clock showdown, because it's Wednesday, coming up in hour number 3 tonight as well. So we gave away the Kid Rock tickets already. We tried to make James a winner just now. We've got $100 a day in the month of May that somebody is going to walk away with tonight, and then the 6 o'clock showdown, plus another chance to play Race to Win, all coming up before 7 o'clock tonight. Unfortunately, no Minnesota Twins baseball tonight. Twins and Sox postponed due to weather. So no Twins baseball broadcast on 107.5 FM tonight. We can add that to the Midwest One Bank Big Board update, can't we? Big news for Cedar Rapids golf fans. The Cedar Rapids Country Club will host the 2019 U.S. Senior Women's Amateur Championship. The tournament's scheduled to begin August 24th in 2019. It's just the third time in history that a USGA-sanctioned championship event will be played in the Hawkeye State, and the first time ever that the city of Cedar Rapids will be the host for one. The Cedar Rapids Colonels dropped their second straight game at the hands of the Dayton Dragons, falling Tuesday by a score of 5-3 at Fifth Third Field in Ohio. The Dragons, who own the best record in the Midwest League at 22-10, will send lefty Wennington Romero to the mound tonight against the Colonels. Cedar Rapids counters with undefeated right-hander Tyler Wells. First pitch set to be delivered at 6 o'clock Central. And a former Iowa prep softball standout's been named the Big Ten's Freshman of the Year and Player of the Year. Minnesota's Kendall Lindemann is just the fourth player in conference history to win both awards. The Ankeny native narrowly missed winning the Triple Crown this season, finishing second in home runs with 9. No Iowa players earned first or second team all-conference honors, but outfielder Cheyenne Pratt did land a spot on the all-defensive team, and as we mentioned moments ago, no Twins-White Sox game tonight on KGYM's North Gym, 107.5 FM. Twins starting to play some pretty good baseball. Kenny Vargas swinging a good bat. Byron Buxton coming around. And you've got the looming specter of Jose Berríos in AAA Rochester waiting to be recalled to the major leagues. When they will do that, Paul Molitor says they're keeping an eye on the situation. Cubs and Rockies also playing today in the series finale at Coors Field. Weather wreaking havoc on a couple of those games. It's final. Cubs fall to the Rockies 3-0. Kyle Hendricks takes the loss. Germán Márquez no-hit the Cubs through, I believe it was the first six innings today. How about Greg Holland? 14 saves so far for the Colorado Rockies. And you look up and down that Cubs lineup, Kyle Schwarber batting 195 at this point in the season, and Ben Zobrist at 222. Anthony Rizzo got the day off today. He was not in the lineup. So the Cubs had a little bit of a non-traditional lineup, including John Jay batting leadoff. Tell you what, it's going to be an interesting series beginning Friday at Busch Stadium in St. Louis with the Cubs and the Cardinals. We'll break it down tomorrow a little bit with David Kaplan from CSN Chicago. And then on Friday, we'll do so at the Coach's Corner with Jack Dom during his weekly segment, Touching All Bases. Jack's actually going to be joining us on the phone from St. Louis. He's going to see the Cubs and the Cardinals, so we'll do a long-distance edition of Touching All Bases with Jack. Cubs-Cardinals this weekend, your thoughts on that series in a nutshell?
It's early.
And
I know the fan bases are going to get riled up for it, and I think whenever these two teams meet, there's a lot of bad blood going back and forth from the two fan bases, but it has next to no implications on what's going to happen later in the season for the Cubs. It's just about getting back on track. Pretty much everything right now is ice cold with the weather, especially in Colorado, where there's been hail and bad weather throughout that series, and they're struggling right now. There's no question for the Cardinals. It's exactly the opposite. They got off to a horrible start, but they're putting together one of the best roles that they've had, and I think the last 2 years right now. They're 18-14 in first place in the division, and they are on fire. They've won 5 in a row. They had an impressive come-from-behind win last night, and they're playing very well. And so it'll be interesting to see the Cardinals. They were a little bit sour about the first series of the year where they came out on the short end. The Cubs won 2 of 3. They had a couple of chances. They had a chance in pretty much every game. They had the lead in every game, and they couldn't come through. So it'll be interesting to see what the 2017 version of this rivalry looks like. What kind of bad blood will there be? Who hits who first? Who retaliates? It's going to be fun as always.
One of the hottest players in baseball right now, neither a Cub or a Cardinal, but Robinson Cano with the Mariners has driven in 28 runs over his last 28 games. He's batting .315 during that span. Why am I talking about batting average? Well, because Keith Law,
not a fan,
is not a fan of batting average, and he's got a brand new book out. It's called Smart Baseball. It's been out for a couple months. I actually have a physical copy of it in front of me. Some of you may read it on a Kindle or like that, but I prefer to actually have books. It drives my wife nuts. She thinks she lives in a library at times because I keep all these baseball books, but you never know when you're going to need something for a reference. And Keith is going to join us coming up in just a few minutes here at the bottom of the hour. We'll talk a little baseball with Keith Law, ESPN's senior baseball writer. If you've got any questions for him, text him to us, 319-366-1600. It's the Jerry Ask Investment Services text line. He joins us next.
Public Clearing Home is here at the home of Barb White, winner of our $5,000 a week forever sweepstakes. Let's go surprise her with the good news. Oh, my. Oh, well, I've never seen anything quite like this, folks. It appears Barb has let her lawn go for a few years, maybe. We'll just go around the side. Oh, well, that's not going to work.
Is that Public Clearing Home? Did I win?
Yes, ma'am, you won. We've got the check right here. Just need to get it to you.
Walk by the wind chimes next to the bug zapper.
Okay, sure. Okay,
duck your head under. Oh, I can't believe I won. This is just so exciting. Oh, dear. Are you okay?
You have a moat? You know what? We'll mail you the check. I hope you have a gigantic mailbox.
I do, in fact, right next to my gnome nativity scene. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Need landscaping? Get a loan. Go to DePaco. DePaco Community Credit Union. We got you covered. With low rates and local service, getting money has never been easier. Apply now at DePaco.com.
DePaco Community Credit Union. Equal opportunity lender.
We specialize in chicken. You need another reason? I didn't think so. Try the Zinger and a $5 fill-up at KFC today. KFC, it's finger-licking good. Limited time offer at participating KFCs. Tax extra.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Christine Lisi. Here's what's happening. What a way for the second round of the Stanley Cup playoffs to wind down. Two game sevens tonight. Capitals welcome the Penguins. Washington's dropped six of its last nine game sevens. The other winner take all. The Ducks, who've dropped five straight game sevens, host the Oilers. NBA playoffs. Wizards coach Scott Brooks and forward Markieff Morris with some advice for forward Kelly Oubre for game five tonight against the Celtics. Their words of wisdom: bring some earplugs. Oubre will hear plenty of boos in Boston. He was suspended for Game 4 for charging into the Celtics' Kelly Olynyk in Game 3. Series is 2-2. The NBA fined Boston's Isaiah Thomas $25,000 for directing inappropriate language toward a Wizards fan in Game 3. The Spurs have listed Kawhi Leonard as questionable for Game 6 against the Rockets tomorrow because of an injured ankle. Baseball, the Cubs held without a hit until the top of the eighth inning. They fell to the Rockies 3-0. The defending champs have lost 5 of 6. They are 17-17 on the season. A combined 7 RBI for Robinson Cano and Carlos Ruiz. Mariners beat the Phillies 11-6.
Experience why for nearly a century men have trusted Barbasol for a close, comfortable shave. Whether it's extra moisturizing with vitamin E or soothing aloe, all you have to do is sit back and bask in the glory of your close shave. You're looking good, America. You're shaving with Barbasol.
For me, it was the big S-Class from the 90s. Beautiful. My friend's dad had one.
The SL. All of the SLs. I've been watching those since I was a kid.
I think the 1971 SE was the first Mercedes that just blew me away.
Everyone remembers the first time they saw one and the day they began to long for a Mercedes-Benz of their own. Well, that day may be a lot closer than you think. With a certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz, you can experience the luxury, the unparalleled safety, the performance, and the style Mercedes-Benz is famous for at a price you can afford. Beautiful SUVs, sedans, coupes, and convertibles that are factory certified and covered by an unlimited mileage warranty for up to 3 years, so you can drive without a worry for as far as you like. And during the certified pre-owned sales event going on now through May 31st, you can receive 2 years of complimentary prepaid maintenance and special financing available through Mercedes-Benz Financial Services, only at your authorized Mercedes-Benz dealer. You've waited long enough.
See your authorized Mercedes-Benz dealer for complete details and limitations on certified pre-owned warranties.
Summer involves a lot of driving to camp, to work, to soccer, back home to grab what they forgot, and then back to soccer again. So wouldn't you like to know your car is up for it? Enter Hum by Verizon. Now you can check your car's health from your phone with vehicle diagnostics, drive with more peace of mind thanks to 24/7 emergency assistance, and let the kids stream and game on the go with your car's own Wi-Fi hotspot. Get Hum and get where you're going. Learn more at Hum.com. Verizon Wi-Fi available on Hum X only. Data usage applies. Coverage not available everywhere. Visit VZW.com for availability.
It's time for breakfast at Burger King.
Remember at Burger King, I got the 3 for 89 cent pancake deal?
Yeah.
I tried to take one.
But they're 89 cents.
Yeah.
You can spare one.
I understand, but you know what I said.
Well, you said respect the stack.
And did you?
No, because I like pancakes. Respect that stack. Get 3 pancakes for just 89 cents. That's 3 fluffy golden pancakes for 89 cents now at Burger King. Here's another great breakfast deal. 2 croissant sandwiches for just $4. Only at Burger King. Limited time at participating Burger King restaurants.
5:35, a Wednesday edition of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn rolling along. We are at the halfway point right now, and we've still got plenty to get to, including the 6 o'clock showdown to come in hour number 3. Some Cedar Rapids Colonels tickets on the line for you this evening. We've got another chance to play and hopefully make someone victorious on Race to Win. And be listening, and once you hear the promo and the cue to call for the Mike and Mike phrase of the day, if you're caller number 6, you're going to win $100 in cash right here at KGYM. All you need to do is listen throughout the month of May. We're sending somebody $100 in cash every single day that we're on the air here in the month of May. It went over quite well today at Lunchbox Heroes, and we'll talk a little bit more about that coming up in just a little bit. Couple game sevens on tap in the NHL tonight. The Penguins take on the Capitals, and the Oilers skate against the Ducks. But as promised, we're going to talk a little baseball right now with a guy I know many baseball fans in Eastern Iowa are familiar with. He's the senior baseball writer at ESPN. Keith Law joining us on the program now. Keith's got a brand new book out called Smart Baseball. Keith, at what point in time did you decide that you wanted to write this particular book?
About 2 years ago, I think I first approached my agent at the time, June of 2015. We sold it. HarperCollins got it, took it basically right away in October, November. Started writing in March, finished in December, and then it came out 2 weeks ago yesterday.
The book, the front cover of the book says it's the story behind the old stats that are ruining the game, the new ones that are running it, and the right way to think about baseball. Explain what that means.
So I describe the old traditional stats that I think a lot of us, myself included, grew up listening to, don't do a very good job of telling us what players were good, how players actually performed, how valuable they were. And there are many new stats, some new, some are actually old, but maybe haven't been used enough. Better judge the story of who was good, who wasn't good, who was the more valuable player. And so I try to walk through why the old stats don't work, what some of these newer stats are, and why we should be using them instead, and then look a little bit to the future at where we might go from here in the next 5 to 10 years of analytics in baseball.
Keith, one of the stats that you talk about is the pitcher win, and one of the anecdotes that you bring up is the 1990 Cy Young race where Bob Welch won because he had 27 wins. You point out that Roger Clemens had one of the best years of his career, and his teammate Dave Stewart might have had a better year than Bob Welch had in 1990. If that same situation happened in 2017, how confident would you be in the Riders to have another Cy Young winner in place of Bob Welch?
I would say more confident, although the crazy thing about that Welch season, for folks who don't remember, he won 27 games. That's, I believe, still the highest mark for any starting pitcher since Denny McClain reached 30, I think 31 actually, in 1968. No one else has come even close. So Welch's mark was so stunning at the time, and I think would be even more so today. I wonder if voters would still be swayed by that. However, we have seen several recent Cy Young winners who fell short of 20 wins, once at least with a losing record. Felix Hernandez, who was clearly the best pitcher in the American League in his year, but got no run support. And now there's a greater understanding that a pitcher just can't win games by himself. And I go through a little bit more of the logic behind why I hate the pitcher win as a statistic, for pitchers. Wins matter for teams, just not so much for pitchers. And I think we'd at least have more of a split ballot than we did in 1990.
ESPN's Keith Law joining us on the program for a couple more minutes talking about his book, Smart Baseball. If we've got some time, maybe we'll pick his brain over some of the teams right now. You also are not a fan of the save, Keith, and you have made the claim that it's ruined bullpens and how managers are using them. What's your rationale behind that thought?
Well, it doesn't do any of what it tells us. What it tells us it's going to do, at least. It does not measure who's been a good reliever. It doesn't measure reliever effectiveness. In fact, my large adult son, Derek Law, had a save today for the San Francisco Giants where he pitched one inning and gave up two runs. That is not effective pitching by any measure, but he had a three-run lead, and he got the final out, and therefore he gets credited with a save. But what I really feel it's ruined baseball is that it has totally changed the way that managers use relievers and teams build their bullpens, to the point where you saw in the AL wildcard game last year, Buck Showalter never used Zach Britton, his best reliever, maybe his best pitcher, in an elimination game because he was holding Britton as the road team for a save that never happened, and ended up losing the game because he used two totally inferior pitchers to try to extend the game and never gave his offense another chance to take the lead.
Are we going to look back at Terry Francona's use of Andrew Miller in the playoffs last year as kind of a landmark moment in how maybe a change in how managers use their quote-unquote closer?
I certainly hope so. I'm optimistic. I think it'll take some time, and we are going to have to see relievers in situations like Miller's, where Miller's on a four-year deal, might be the last major deal of his career, and so he and his agent would be less concerned with save totals. It doesn't matter if he doesn't register a save at all on the rest of the deal. He's still going to be paid very handsomely. He's going to be paid essentially like a closer with high save totals. If you try to do this with a younger reliever, like the Yankees have done with Dylan Betances, who's been extremely effective for them in the seventh and eighth innings, he's undercompensated as a result through arbitration, and he and his agent were very unhappy this year when he lost his arbitration case, in large part because the Yankees leaned on his low save totals.
Is there a particular anecdote, and there are a ton of them in this book that you use to support your hypotheses here, is there a particular anecdote that you enjoyed perhaps sharing the most, or is there a favorite part of the book when you were writing it?
Well, I mentioned the Showalter anecdote. That's certainly one of the most powerful because it's very direct. It's very clear for people to understand it. I really enjoyed the Hall of Fame chapter where I got to revisit someone like Lou Whitaker, who was a favorite of mine when I was a kid, who I recognized as a great player at the time, who was written about in contemporary accounts as somebody likely to go to the Hall of Fame along with his double play partner, Alan Trammell. And as it turns out, neither made it in. Whitaker only lasted 1 year on the writer's ballot. And I was happy to go back, revisit some of those contemporary accounts, and then get to argue his case, where it's going to depend on the Veterans Committee at some point, but I hope he'll get much greater consideration the second time around, and maybe someone on that committee will be able to point to what I wrote and advance the argument that Whitaker was one of the 10 best second basemen of all time and deserved much greater consideration than he got from the writers.
I'm glad you brought up favorite players as a kid, because one of mine was Andre Dawson, and in this book you make the case that he should not have been the National League MVP in 1987. Your vote would have gone to Tony Gwynn.
Yes, and Dawson's win that year was a reflection of a lot of things, not the least is that we all knew he was a victim of collusion that year, and I won't go through the whole story, but the Cubs signed him essentially on the cheap as a result of that. Dawson ended up leading the National League in home runs and in RBIs, and if you did that back in that era, you won the MVP award. There wasn't really anything further going into it. Gwynn's case today would be much more straightforward. He was a great defensive player and a great base runner at the time who hit for a high average and very high on-base percentages and did hit for a little bit of power in that rabbit ball year. And with the more complete look at players that I try to describe in this book, and I think people go through today, he would have, I think Gwynn would have at least had a much better chance to win the award. And Dawson probably wouldn't end up finishing in the top five if we could redo it.
For a lot of fans that hear the word sabermetric, the one word that comes to mind is complicated. How does this book try to kind of curb that theory for the fans?
Well, if you can see in the book, there's very little math. I really pitched this and then wrote this to be the book that was accessible for everybody. You do not need a math background or much of a baseball background to understand the concepts and the philosophies that I'm talking about in the book. Because my argument is all 30 teams are looking at players this way. So you don't have to agree necessarily, but it helps if you understand where they're coming from, the perspective they're taking on player value. And so I'm trying to express everything conceptually in plain English that's accessible to everyone. Readers have asked me, could I give this to my 10 or 11-year-old child to read? And I say, absolutely. It's written at a level that they can understand. The worst that will happen is they won't get some of my older cultural historical references. But otherwise, there's nothing in there that's too complicated for a child of that age to understand or for someone's parent, for someone my father's age who he's an avid baseball fan, but he was never into sabermetrics. It's something he could grasp just as easily.
Keith Law of ESPN joining us for just a couple more minutes here on the program. And again, we're very appreciative of you taking the time tonight. Which team so far this season in MLB has caught you the most by surprise with their start?
I always say I try not to overreact to anything until we get to about Memorial Day or so. I am surprised to see the Orioles where they are. That's still not a very good rotation, in my opinion. They've been out without Zach Britton for a while. It looks like they're going to be without him for a while longer. And I don't know to what extent this is just them playing a weak schedule early, and to what extent they've been lucky, and to what extent maybe I just underestimated them coming into the season. And in the same division, the Blue Jays have surprised me in the other direction. Although a lot of it is injuries. Also, they've got a couple of guys in that lineup who are just playing well under what I would have expected of them. And it's possible that Jose Bautista wasn't so much hurt last year as he was just old. And maybe this is the end of the line for him after a pretty amazing five-year run for them.
The Cubs are 17-17 right now. Should their fans be worried?
No. I would say that the biggest problem they have is a couple of guys in the rotation, including Arrieta, just probably not the pitcher he was 2 years ago or even last year. But I look up and down that lineup. There are maybe three guys in there who are performing at or above expectations. Addison Russell is nowhere close to the hitter I thought he was going to be. Wilson Contreras, he's a much better hitter than that. There's untapped potential in that offense. And these are guys who've hit before. This is not me just projecting on good prospects who haven't had any major league success. These guys have had that. They just have gotten off to rough starts. I have a feeling when we get to the end of the season, we'll look back at all of those guys and say that if we were worried back in early May or late April, that we were wrong to be so, that these guys are going to finish up and turn out to be the players we expected them to be.
Last question, Keith, and then we'll let you go. If you had your choice of any topic to write another baseball book on, what would it be and why?
I will be completely honest with you. I've pitched some, I've talked to my agent about ideas for other books, but the one thing they all have in common, all those ideas, is none of them are about baseball. Baseball's the day job. Baseball was the book. I need my next book to be something totally unrelated to sports.
All right. We appreciate the time, as always. Love reading your stuff at ESPN and appreciate you sometimes taking on the role of contrarian and doing so willfully. Keith Law at ESPN. Thanks for the time, Keith.
Yep, my pleasure.
And again, the book is Smart Baseball, the story behind the old stats that are ruining the game, the new ones that are running it, and the right way to think about baseball. That 1987 season with Andre Dawson will go down in history for a number of reasons. He mentioned collusion, and Dawson was a free agent, and teams basically agreed, not publicly, but privately, that they wanted to try to keep salaries down for a number of stars in the game, Andre Dawson being one of them. And Dallas Green, who at the time was the general manager of the Cubs, sent Andre Dawson a blank check and said, fill it in. Or was it the other way around? I think it may have been the other way around. I think his agent maybe sent a contract to the Cubs and had Dallas Green fill it in. But ultimately, Dawson wanted to do anything to get off the concrete at Olympic Stadium in Montreal. comes to the north side of Chicago, hits 49 home runs, wins the National League MVP. And it's not just Keith Law. A number of people, Tim Raines had an excellent 1987 season as well, and I've seen the case where maybe he should have been the MVP over Dawson that year. But I still have all of my bats and baseballs and Sports Illustrated cover at home inscribed with 1987 NL MVP. You are not taking that away from Andre Dawson. But it's a good book. I enjoy it. And like I said, Keith Law sometimes relishes in the role of being the contrarian.
Sometimes.
Most of the time. He and Brian Kenny on the MLB yes. Network. And they're very much similar, very cut from the same cloth, if you will. Do I think that wins and saves and statistics like that are vastly overrated? I do. And I appreciate sort of trying to figure out a new tact on how to approach looking at the game of baseball. But at the same time, I still think that there's room for people who enjoy or understand those traditional numbers. I still think that if you're a 300 hitter, you're a pretty good baseball player. Now, granted, your on-base percentage may not be much higher than your batting average, and then that's where the discussion comes in of what your true value is. But I just think with where the game is at right now, I'm sort of a big tent guy. I think if you like baseball, whether you're old school or whether you're new school, as long as you enjoy the game, let's just grab a cold beer and sit in the bleachers and watch nine innings. That's in my perfect world. But some people, they don't want that.
I agree. And I think that his book is trying to give you an idea of what the way that the front offices look at the game. And there are certain people that may not want to look at it the same way that front offices do. The one point that he brings up, and I found it interesting, is the way that we talk about batting average as it is related to the batting title. We take the batting average regardless of how many home runs, RBIs, anything else on base percentage, and we say that that is the best hitter in the league. That's the batting champion, whoever wins the batting average title. And I definitely see his point as to why that would be a little bit skewed. But my answer to that is if you want to add all those things together, you want to come up with the best player. That's normally what the most valuable player does. So I kind of see it coming from both ways.
Now, I completely agree with him. I think Alan Trammell and Lou Whitaker, in my opinion, are Hall of Fame players. He lays out the case in the book that Burt Blyleven should have been in the Hall of Fame much sooner than he was and was largely kept out because he didn't get to 300 wins. And part of the reason, if you know anything about Burt Blyleven's career, is he spent the majority of it on teams that were pretty bad, that weren't winning a whole lot of games. And when they were, he was pitching for them. But I'm talking the Twins of the 70s, the Indians of the 70s. He was with the Pirates. The Pirates were actually kind of good when he was with them. And then much later on in his career, he came back to the Twins, spent a little time at the tail end of his career with the then California Angels. It always strikes me as trying to... I've always got to stay on my toes because I keep expecting somebody on the text line to... Because people love to correct you when you make a mistake. And I welcome being corrected. But I'm waiting for the day where I say something about the California Angels and someone's like, they're not the California Angels. Like, it just... I don't feel that old. And then sometimes when I'm talking about the California Angels, or God forbid, we'll eventually live in a world where no one knows who the Montreal Expos were.
Or the Tampa Bay Devil Rays.
Well, that's another story for another time. 8 minutes in front of the hour of 6 o'clock. Plenty of giveaways on the way for you. We've got $100 a day in the month of May. Your second chance to play and hopefully be victorious on Race to Win. And the 6 o'clock showdown, plus plenty more of topics to get to. It's the Todd Brummelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. Back with more after this.
Where would we be without mothers? I think it's pretty safe to say we owe them a lot. So this year at Siebke Hoyt Jewelers, we're making it incredibly easy to show the mothers in our world how much we appreciate them. We start off with an amazing selection of diamond and colored diamond jewelry from Levion, and then we'll add a beautiful spring bouquet of flowers with any purchase of $149 or more. Next, we add saving up to 25% off your purchase, and then we'll top it all off with a chance to win a $5,000 shopping spree. Wouldn't she just love a new or upsized pair of diamond studs or a Pandora Mother's Day set? She sure deserves it. Join us in celebrating moms at Siebke Hoyt Jewelers Mother's Day event. Mother's Day is coming May 14th, and we're here to make it real easy to show moms how much we appreciate them. We're Siebke Hoyt Jewelers, where Cedar Rapids gets engaged and shows mom we love her.
Hi, I'm Douglas Hess. Is your company stuck in the minor leagues? Still using paper files or multiple Excel sheets for HR? The big leaguers at Future Systems can help. With Advanced HR, you take control of the HR process. From applicant tracking and onboarding to online benefits management, customized reports, and integrated payroll, it'll change the game for you and your employees. Call in the big leaguers at Future Systems today at 800-453-5809 or learn more at future-systems.net.
When it's a beautiful day, the first thing you think of is golf. This summer, hit the links as often as you like and save money with a season pass for the City of Cedar Rapids golf courses. Choose now from passes for adults, seniors, young professionals, or junior golfers. Once you've got your season pass, golf all summer long at the four Cedar Rapids City courses. Gardner, Twin Pines, Ellis, and Jones. Each has its own unique character. Get your season pass now for a summer of great golf. Details at playcedarrapidsgolf.com.
5 minutes in front of the hour of 6 o'clock, Todd Brommelkamp and Alex Kuhn, along with our associate producer Kyle Mann, tonight fresh off another successful Lunchbox Heroes at the new Madison Street Dormitory on the campus of the University of Iowa. A big thank you going out to all of our friends and sponsors for Lunchbox Heroes, but first and foremost, especially to our presenting sponsor, Built by Pros. Next week, Alex, you and I are going to be at a much smaller Lunchbox Heroes. We're going to be heading to Vinton and the new addition that they're putting on the hospital
there. I've never been to Vinton. I'm excited.
I'll talk to you next Wednesday. I kid. We played Vinton Shelsburg in sports in high school occasionally, so not that they were a big rival or anything. They came in on the tail end of my high school career, but we'll do that next Wednesday, and we'll tell you all about it here on the program. Speaking of telling you all about things, time for a Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Speaking of thanks, how about a big thank you to Nick Pfeiffer and everybody at Midwest One for being a longtime supporter of local programming here on KGYM. The Cedar Rapids Country Club will host the 2019 U.S. Senior Women's Amateur Championship. The tournament is scheduled to begin August 24th. It's just the third time in history that a USGA championship event will be played in the state of Iowa. This is also a first for the city of Cedar Rapids. The Cedar Rapids Colonels dropped their second straight game at the hands of the Dayton Dragons, falling last night by a score of 5-3 at Fifth Third Field in Ohio. The Dragons own the best record in the Midwest League at 22-10. They send lefty Wennington Romero to the mound tonight against the Colonels. Cedar Rapids counters with the undefeated Tyler Wells. First pitch set to be delivered in a few moments, 6 o'clock Central Time. And a former Iowa prep softball standout's been named the Big Ten's Freshman of the Year and Player of the Year. Minnesota's Kendall Lindemann, just the fourth player in conference history to win both awards. The Ankeny native narrowly missed winning the Triple Crown this season, finishing second in the Big Ten in home runs. No Iowa players on the first or second all-conference teams, but outfielder Cheyenne Pratt did land a spot on the all-defensive team. Hawkeyes take on Wisconsin tomorrow at the Big Ten tournament in Ann Arbor. Hour number three on the way after this.
Summer involves a lot of driving to camp, to work, to soccer, back home to grab what they forgot, and then back to soccer again. So wouldn't you like to know your car is up for it? Enter Hum by Verizon. Now you can check your car's health from your phone with vehicle diagnostics, drive with more